Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of many weeks, we have been thinking together of the subject of scriptural principles and scriptural approach to marriage and the family. You can call this by various names, but we've been trying to base this teaching upon the scriptures themselves. We've been trying to share with you what God feels is important for us in our lives, and this especially applies now to our homes and to our families. And in these weeks, we have been discussing a number of different subjects. We thought of the courtship relationship of young people, when young people are first seeking God's will for their lives, and they're interested in a certain person, and they're seeking God's will for that person in their lives, if this is indeed the will of God. We've also thought of husband-wife relationships, and some of the things that they can expect of each other, the ways they're to treat each other, the way they're to regard each other, the role of each one in the home, and so forth. And now we have been turning, in recent messages, to the subject of the parent-child relationship. And what is this relationship to be? How are we to conduct ourselves in this parent-child relationship? We thought, for instance, of what a child has a right to expect of his parents. Sometimes we parents don't like this, that the children have a right to expect things of us, and yet this is true in the Word of God. A child has a right to look to his parents and to expect certain things in the lives of his parents. And then we thought of what the parents have a right to expect of the children, and how important this is as well, that we parents clearly know what are the qualities that a child should have in his or her life that we can expect of them, and that we can pray about, and that we can nurture in them as we train them in the things of God. And most recently, we've been thinking about the training itself that we give to our children. We thought of some of the various areas of life where children need to be trained. And in the most recent message, I've been thinking about the possible approaches that can be used in the training of children. In the last message, we talked about consistent, spiritual, biblical teaching in the home. How important this is, that we are giving the children the foundations for their lives, and the foundations are from the Word of God itself. It's not from the prayer book. It's not from somebody else's writings. It's not from some book that somebody tries to sell you at your door, which may be from a false cult altogether, but it's from the Word of God itself. We consistently and faithfully and correctly teach the Word of God to our children. Now, today, I want to take several other ways that children can be approached with training. And I want to start with one of these that may seem a bit strange to some of you. But this one has to do with the manner in which the training is given. Some people feel, well, I've trained my children. I've taught them from the Word of God. What more does God expect of me? What God does expect is that when scriptures are taught to the children, they are taught in a way, in a manner, which the children will accept and respond to. For instance, suppose that we come before our children and we have a very harsh attitude toward them, a very harsh and very unloving attitude. I've known Christian parents like this, who were very dictatorial with their children. In other words, you listen to me. It's this idea, an angry spirit. You listen to me. I want you to accept what I am teaching you. You do what the scriptures tell you to do. You know, a child reacts in different ways to such teaching. It is true that some children will absolutely yield themselves, and they will respond even to dictatorial, harsh teaching. But other children will not. In fact, many children will even rebel against such an approach, because they see in their parents an unloving, uncaring manner. In other words, it's simply a form the parents are going through. Well, the Bible requires me to train my children. The Bible requires me to teach them. Therefore, they're going to listen to me. That is not the way we're to do it. So it is possible to be absolutely correct in the area of content and goals, but to alienate children by approaching them in ways that needlessly offend them and cause them to rebel. Now, when a child rebels, I want to be very fair about what I'm saying. When a child rebels, a child may rebel for the wrong reasons. We may have this loving, tender approach to our children. We may be teaching them the Word of God with good examples and everything. a child may still rebel against his teaching. This would not be our fault. We have to commit them to the Lord. But when they rebel because of the manner in which I teach them, that's another matter. So when we teach them with spiritual authority, it is not the same as teaching them in a harsh, unloving, or uncaring way. We do need authority in our teaching. Don't misunderstand me. But it still needs to be in a tender, loving, caring way. The child must listen to the teaching. The child must respond to the teaching. But they know that we're giving this teaching in love and in tenderness. This is the way God teaches us from His Word. God Himself, by His Spirit, teaches us in a tender way. We never doubt God's love and God's care for us. So this love and care for the parents is to be present, not just in teaching them scriptural truth, but also in the rules and standards of the home itself. Even when we lay down rules and standards, they know that we do it in love and we do it in tenderness. And so I want to urge you, even if you feel you may have failed in the early training of your own children, by the way you have taught them, by some of the attitudes you had in teaching your children, it's not too late to make changes in your own life before God, to let God mold and shape you into being a more loving, a more tender-hearted parent, and teaching your children in the correct way. It's not too late to reach them, even if they're teenagers already. Another thing that I want to share with you has to do with the examples set by the parents and others, the examples that we set before them. How important it is that we are a proper example to them. For instance, if a parent comes to a time of family worship and their own hearts are not right with God, or there is some tension between husband and wife, or there has been something in their lives that has offended the children, rightfully offended them. In other words, these children have been offended by an attitude of the parent, by words of the parent, by some other thing. These things need to be corrected because the example has been broken here. The parent has not been the example the parent should have been, and the example has been broken. We notice that children tend to imitate what they see in other people. This may be in a parent, it may be in a teacher, it may be in another adult that this child is in contact with, it may be an employer, but a child is affected by what they see in other people, more than just by what they hear. And so this is very important. Now, some of the areas where examples affect a child include their ways of thinking, their ways of speaking, their attitudes and feelings, which can be seen in the ways and attitudes of other people. In all of these things, a child is affected by example. Another area of training has to do with the spiritual guidance a child receives from the parents. I believe, and you can use this expression, in a hands-on approach to the training of a child. In other words, this is a daily thing. We don't simply give a child at the beginning of the week certain instructions and then forget the child or neglect the child in instructing the child. I believe in a daily, hands-on approach in the training of the child. It is a continual process for both the parents and the children. For instance, a child needs to be daily evaluated. How is the child doing? What are the problems the child is facing? What are the difficulties the child is facing that cannot be mastered without help from the parents? What are some of the problems the child has that need to be corrected and so forth? Sometimes a child needs to be commended more. This is a daily, hands-on approach. A child may lack confidence in himself, in his own abilities, in his own talents. He may be made fun of by other people, even by teachers sometimes, teachers that times can be insensitive to the needs and the cares of a child. So this child may come home lacking confidence in himself. So this daily commendation is also very important. And of course, a child may have to be corrected. Let me come back to that again. There are times in a child's life when he has to be corrected. Now this effort is going to require time on the part of the parent. The parent is going to have to be aware that time is going to be involved, and that if they're not willing to spend the time, the child is not going to be trained in the way he should be. So we form in the child deep heart beliefs and convictions. We follow up on these. I mentioned these heart convictions before, but we follow up on these. What does a child really believe? We can see this in the way the child acts, the way he reacts, the way he talks, the way he treats other people. So we're giving this child daily attention. Now, another area of training has to do with the lessons of life learned from the child, learned by the child, let me put it that way, learned by the child as he watches the destructive influences of the world. The child cannot help but be impressed by things going on all around him. Even if a child is homeschooled or he's in a very protected atmosphere in the home, the child is going to be aware that in the outside world there are destructive influences. He's going to see it if he's in a public school, even in the lives of his schoolmates. He's going to see destructive influences there. He's going to know that on the television and in other ways, there are many, many things going on trying to capture his mind and heart. Now, it doesn't mean the child will be a part of these things at all. We're protecting the child from ever being a part of these things. But the child must still be aware that there are destructive things going on. The devil is always at work. He needs to know about the work of the devil. He needs to know the temptations he's going to face in life. He needs to be guarded against these temptations in life. And so this is part of his training, that he is aware of these things and he is guarded from these things. He knows exactly how to protect himself, how the Lord himself has given his Holy Spirit in his life, even as young as a child is. When he trusts the Lord Jesus as his Savior from sin, the Holy Spirit comes to live in his life. And the Holy Spirit can be trusted to teach this child as the parents train the child. The Holy Spirit will apply these teachings to the life of the child. This will keep the child from getting into some of these destructive influences later in life. He will always be tempted. The devil will always be at work to tempt him, but he does not need to get into them. Then, of course, we also teach the child from the life experiences of children as they grow and mature. And these life experiences are going on all the time. He's in contact with the outside world. He's going to have bad treatment by others. There may be sorrow come into his life. Oh, how my heart grieves for parents whose children have been affected by sorrow. A sister or a brother passes away. Maybe a grandparent passes away. Or even sometimes one of the spouses passes away in a marriage relationship. And how this affects a young child, how this child carries this grief and sorrow. Now, the children can learn from this. They can learn how the grace of God can take them through the worst of difficulties. When they go to a public school, they may be under the influence of a bully, someone who's really trying to push them around, trying to cast them down, so to speak, who may even steal from them or treat them badly in other ways. And this is part of life experience. A child learns not to hate people. A child learns to get help from the Lord in going through some of these very difficult experiences they go through. And then, of course, some children are affected by physical disabilities, learning disabilities, a lack of talents which other children seem to have. I remember in school, when I was teaching in the Bible school in Hong Kong, remember there was one man who was not a singer. He was the only one in the entire student body they would not permit to sing in the choir, because he simply could not sing at all. It would have ruined the entire song the choir was singing if he had been permitted to sing in the choir. But you know, this man became one of the most successful pastors we've ever had in the city of Hong Kong. How God has mightily blessed his ministry there. 7 branch churches, I believe I've used this illustration before, 7 branch churches were started by this man's church. And these churches, except for one of them, are now all independent Baptist churches. And so the influences sometimes can be very negative in a person's life, but he can gain victory through them. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. You can gain victory through them. May the Lord bless you as you raise and train your children. May the Lord help you to be the right kind of a parent and to train these children in ways where they will follow the Lord Jesus with all their hearts, having known him as their Savior from sin. May the Lord bless you, each one.